We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One of the things that really came through loud and clear was how mean and cruel that Jordan could be to his teammates. I know that in talking to Stacy and so many guys on those 90s teams, they always say that Scottie Pippen was our favorite teammate because he was supportive and he cared about everybody on the squad.
I'll put it like this. Of all my years I played in Chicago and played with Michael, I never saw one free agent come to the Bulls and said that they want to play there with Michael. I do recall a couple of them coming there during the offseason when he retired or the 2 years that he was away from the game. So I say that to say this. The success of the Bulls came from a team. It didn't come from Michael Jordan.
Man.
Boo-hoo-hoo, Scottie Pippen. You know, boo-hoo. Nobody wanted to come here because in the 90s, people wanted to beat the best, Spiegs. They didn't want to create super teams. Free agents didn't want to come here and partner up with Michael Jordan. They want to beat Michael Jordan. That's the difference between back then and right now.
Gabe Ramirez has thoughts.
Hot right now.
Yeah, you are. He's with me, Matt Spiegel, as we are in for Mully and Haw this morning. And thrilled to say hello to our friend Mark Schanowski. Haven't talked to Mark in a long time. Mark joins us right now on the Busey Bank Score Hotline. Building business, growing wealth. Since 1868. Mark, good morning. Hope you are well. What was your impression of Scottie Pippen's headspace there? Was he boo-hooing and crying like Gabe wants to paint
no,
it?
Mark set him up for that good question. Well, for that answer.
That's the thing. Is he doing his best to articulate kind of an interesting mix of emotions for a guy in his position?
Well, all of us in the media have heard Scottie Pippen over the years since he finished playing talk of reflecting on the dynasty, and there have been a lot of hard feelings about the way his role was portrayed and how much credit he was given for the Bulls 6 championships. And obviously that came through loud and clear in the interview that Stacey King and I did with Scottie last night. You know, obviously he's bitter about a lot of things, and his two primary targets are Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson, and there wasn't a lot of prompting there. This was volunteered by Scottie at great length. And later in the interview, he went on to say that when he was in college, when he was younger and Michael came into the league in 84, that he watched the Bulls and he said that he didn't have much respect for Jordan's game because all he cared about was scoring titles, that he took horrible shots, and it took him and Horace coming in and the coaching staff to finally convince him that the triangle offense could work if he would be less selfish. And that's the reason they won championships, not because of Michael's individual brilliance. So, you know, his feelings are that, you know, it was a total team effort. He actually went on to say that Jerry Krause's famous quote about organizations win championships is 100% accurate because it took everybody. And he was, you know, he always felt that Jordan got too much credit for what went on. And that was, you know, we asked him about the Last Dance documentary. That's when things really started flowing because, as you know, he was not a big fan of that production.
Okay, then, Mark, let me ask you, because you obviously were covering the teams. You know, you get to talk to these guys at length. You know, when you're thinking back to those teams of the 90s where the Bulls were winning championships and you hear somebody like Scottie say, you know, organizations and, you know, we were the ones that convinced Mike and it wasn't his brilliance. Do you agree with that statement?
Well, I think that Jordan was a figure that transcended sports at that point. You know, he was a worldwide icon. His brand was everywhere. And, you know, I think that anybody who was playing in that shadow would naturally feel a little bit of resentment, especially a guy like Pip, who, you know, played hard on both ends of the court, gave up a lot of his own game on offense. You know, he always guarded the best player, the best wing on the other side. You know, he didn't really care that much about scoring. And I think that when you see all the accolades going to one player, it's kind of tough when you feel like you're also an all-star. He was named, well, you know, one of the 50 greatest players back in 96 or 97. And, you know, he just felt like he didn't get enough credit. That's understandable from a human perspective, but there was enough glory for, you know, for everybody to bask in. And later in the interview, when we asked him about who we thought were the greatest players of all time, he had Jordan on his list. He acknowledged Jordan's greatness, but he said that Jordan was the greatest scorer of all time. He said that LeBron James is the greatest statistical player of all time because of his longevity and the stats that he piled up. But he kind of concluded by saying there is no greatest player of all time. He mentioned five or six guys that he thought fit in that category.
Man, it's sad because being that bitter is kind of a miserable way to live.
Because then you're like Isaiah Thomas.
Well, yeah, and I want Scotty to be happy.
I love Scotty Pippen.
Scotty should be so proud of his career and his life and what they all did together. So having the axe to grind, it just strikes me as a mentally dark place to live your life, Mark. Doesn't it?
Well, you know what? He was just warming up with MJ. The Phil stuff is even better. I mean, he basically said it was Phil Jackson was the reason that the dynasty broke up. His quote was, he became selfish. It was really the reason for the breakup of the team. He said that in talking about we had one selfish guy on the team in MJ and another selfish guy coaching the team. He said that Phil Jackson changed, that he never felt that he was in his corner, and that his selfishness was the thing that broke it up, that it wasn't Jerry Krause's desire to rebuild. It was that Phil became larger than the squad. So, again, you know, Scotty pointing to an ego-driven person as a reason for the breakup of the squad. But it wasn't MJ. It was Phil Jackson, in his opinion.
Well, and for those of us who lived through it, it's like, Phil kept wanting to leave, and Michael made it clear he was going to leave if Phil left. So I get that, what he's saying, but, like, this is Scotty's ego coming out. Like, all these guys have massive freaking egos. This is sports, that you find a way to get those egos to mesh and sacrifice for the greater good. And Lord knows he did that, and everybody, and we know that, but so did Mike. Like, that's the whole thing. It's like, Mike could have just kept shooting and scoring and put up 60 or 70 on a given night, but he realized he needed to use his teammates. That's how sports works.
And Speaks, we've managed to go 7 minutes talking about the Bulls and egos and haven't even mentioned, like, a Dennis Rodman, right? Like, someone that's, you get in that space and you're like, well, that's what the team was somewhat built on in that second half of the
90s. But Rodman was fascinating because he's got a massive look at me, look at me, look at me. But as a player, he was as selfless as any player all time. Wasn't he, Mark?
Yeah, and we did ask Scotty about bringing in Dennis Rodman. Of course, they had the famous battles with the Pistons going back to the late 80s and early 90s. And he said that Phil and Krause did come up to him and ask if he'd be okay with playing with Dennis Rodman. And the funny thing he said then was, he goes, well, you know, the time kind of heals all wounds, and a lot of time had gone by between our battles with the Pistons. And I'm like, well, it's 2023, and time hasn't healed some problems. So, you know, you look at things through a different lens, and obviously I think that Scotty appreciated Rodman's ability to play unselfishly and do the dirty work that a lot of guys didn't want to do. So I think in that aspect, he welcomed him as a teammate who would take some of the defensive pressure off of him. But, you know, he didn't really have anything negative to say about Dennis in terms of how he fit into the squad. Everyone knows, you know, his disappearing act at times and you know, not following team rules, but you know, Scotty said that Rodman was a good teammate in their time together with the Bulls.
Man, it's such heavy stuff. This is obviously must-listen stuff on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast with Stacey King and Mark Schanowski, and I'll be listening to the whole thing later on today. It's just Mark, I've been thinking about something, and I think you're a great guy to ask about this. The other guy I want to ask is Steve Kerr, but I don't have him on the line currently. But Steve Kerr said in his exit interview from Golden State that the punch that Draymond Green delivered to Jordan Poole broke the trust on that team, and they never recovered from it. And that team had to play with that, like, a beautiful brand of trust to play their kind of ball that they've kind of perfected. And all I could think about was Michael punching Steve Kerr in a practice way back in the day. And Phil Jackson's job was the same in terms of making sure that everybody had a level of trust. It seems clear that Draymond Green has not done some of the work that perhaps Michael did to make that trust stay, or maybe Jordan Poole is not quite as mature as Steve Kerr was at the time to recover from it. But I'm wondering if you can help me think about those two examples historically a little bit.
Well, I think the biggest problem in terms of the Golden State situation is the way the media is today. You know, the video of the incident, you know, emerged on TMZ, so they had to face the reality of seeing that over and over again. And I think, you know, back in the, you know, going back to the start of professional sports on television and radio, you know, the macho image and you know, you got to be tough and, you know, a fight is good because it just brings out the character of a team. It's not looked at it the same way as it was in the 80s and 90s. And I think, you know, the viciousness of the attack from Draymond Green and Jordan Poole hitting the ground. I mean, that image is burned into the minds of not only Warrior fans, but sports fans around the country. And it's just impossible to get away from that situation. And Draymond Green is such a large personality. The guy's really intelligent. If you listen to his podcast, I mean, he has a lot to offer in terms of his take on the game and some of the players in the league. But also, you know, he's very much ego driven and always thinks that he's in the right. And obviously, you know, he would justify it that there was just a flashpoint between teammates. But Jordan Poole was a guy that had emerged last season as a rising star in the league, and he never really recovered from that punch. He had a bad year statistically and really disappeared in the playoffs. And now you look at a situation for Steve Kerr and Bob Myers at Golden State where they have to figure, well, what happens next? And it's going to be a fascinating summer with, I think there's going to be player movement, not only with Golden State, but, you know, you look at teams around the league that came up short of expectations. It's going to be fascinating to see which big stars are in our new cities next year.
So it's a really good point. And Draymond going on his podcast all the time and staying strong, right, and not wanting to admit accountability. I wonder if Michael admitted accountability and like apologized to Steve Kerr in a private setting and that helped rebuild it in a way that Draymond has not done.
Yeah, and talking to Steve Kerr in the past, he's been pretty open about the incident. And, you know, in Steve's manner, he was able to laugh it off and not make a big deal of it. And obviously, what Steve Kerr has gone through in his life with his father being murdered, you know, he's gone through a much tougher times than getting a punch from Michael Jordan. And I think with a lot of guys, it was a badge of honor. But, you know, going back to the Pip interview, remember what he did to Rodney McRae when he came in for that last, for the, I think it was the 92-93 season. Jordan just basically reduced Rodney McRae, who was a well-respected NBA player, to a pile of rubble because, you know, he was an aging player who really was not at the top of his game, and Jordan was on him all the time, and McRae was just kind of useless. We saw in the Last Dance documentary how he picked on Scott Burrell the last year, and Burrell was, you know, basically pleading, leave me alone. Yeah. You know, some guys can take it, and some guys can't. And with Jordan, you know, you had to prove to him that you were tough enough to go through those moments when you're, you know, in a one-point game in the NBA Finals. Are you going to be tough enough to handle the pressure that's all around you? And, you know, maybe Jordan Poole is lacking in that area, but I think really the reality of it is just seeing that over and over again, the viciousness of that punch was really hard for anybody on that Golden State team to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, when you're thinking about back to the documentary, but that's when Jordan cries a little bit and he's like, hey, man, if you don't want it as much as I do, when talking about pushing guys to the limit, I think that was a great little insight into Jordan and his mindset. And it wasn't just bullying. It was trying to get everybody to play at the highest level that they could possibly play at. He did mention in the documentary as well that, you know, he sought out, you know, Steve Kerr's numbers so he can reach out to him afterwards and apologize to him. I do remember that. But the Jordan Poole, Draymond Green situation, you know, Draymond touched on it after the season when asked about it and said, I did not have the ability to correct certain things during the season from Jordan Poole because of the predicament I put myself in because of the fight. So he's like, I wasn't able to be the leader that I normally am looked at to be, specifically with Jordan Poole when he was struggling, because I couldn't have those same conversations with him.
Wow.
And he was saying that's why they sort of struggled in that space. So some really good stuff. And it's a great question because you're right. There are parallels there, Matt. But Mark, you know, I want to shift gears just a little bit and go over to the NBA playoffs. You know, we're watching potentially what could be the first time ever a team coming back from a 3-0 deficit with the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. The assumption after watching the first three games was that Jimmy Butler was just going to will that team to the NBA Finals. And then It seems as though the Boston Celtics have realized, hey, this is a good team, and you might have to play your best if you want to make it to the next level. What do you think is going to happen in this one? I mean, obviously, Game 6 happening on Saturday, and we've seen some really good basketball from both teams, but I'm curious as to your thoughts. I know you're watching it intently as to what you think the outcome will be.
Well, the pressure is really mounting on the Miami Heat right now. I mean, no one wants to be the first team to lose after taking a 3-0 lead in the playoff series. And the thing about Miami throughout these playoffs is they've shot the ball at an unconscionable level. That's something that you really can't sustain in terms of their role guys shooting threes. You know, you look, Gabe Vincent was out yesterday, and he's been a huge factor in these playoffs. He has played some fantastic basketball. But, you know, you look at him, you look at Caleb Martin, you look at our guy Max Strus, Duncan Robinson. These guys are hitting threes at a really crazy level that you don't normally see in the playoffs. And, you know, unfortunately, they've hit a bit of a shooting slump at the worst possible time. And now you go onto the court in Miami tomorrow night, and all the pressure is on the Heat because they don't want to go back to Boston for a Game 7. And I think Eric Spoelstra deserves a lot of credit. This was a team that was barely above 500 for most of the season. They finished seventh in the Eastern Conference standings, so they had to go through the play-in. They beat the top-seeded Milwaukee Bucks in the first round. And as I said, the shooting has been remarkable. And Jimmy Butler has played at a level that, you know, is almost Jordan-like in these playoffs. He's been making remarkable shots. He's had the ball in his hands throughout the fourth quarters of close games, and he wants the ball. You know, on every possession, he's trying to get to his spots and either make a shot or get to the free throw line. It's going to be on Jimmy now. He's going to have to take the ball and just carry these guys, because I'm sure some of the role guys might be a little tight end in Game 6.
Listen to Jimmy after the game last night talking about Game 6.
We just got to play better, start the games off better on the starters, make it more difficult for them. They're in a rhythm since the beginning of the game. But we're always going to stay positive, knowing that we can and we will win this series. And we'll just have to close it out at home.
We can and we will win this series. We'll just have to close it out at home. Jimmy has always wanted to be the man.
I want to be loved.
Right.
Well, no, but he's also wanted to, like, he believed that he could be the dude, even when on a team with MVP Derrick Rose. Jimmy believed that. And in retrospect, I mean, it's amazing. It's credit to him. And we saw the work ethic and we heard the story from a very young age, what happened to him in Texas and how he lived and how he had to get there. In retrospect, should the Bulls have handed the keys to the entire organization to Jimmy Butler?
Well, we talked about that on the podcast before the Scottie Pippen interview at length. Stacey and I talked about the Jimmy Butler situation. And Stacey, of course, being a broadcaster around the team, being on team flights and seeing Jimmy at his best and his worst, said it never would have happened with Jimmy Butler in Chicago. There was some damage done in terms of organizational trust. You know, Jimmy had set himself apart from the rest of the squad. He was dressing in a different locker room. He was siding with certain players and against others and creating friction in the clubhouse. And they're also concerned about the mileage on his tires from playing, you know, huge minutes under Tom Thibodeau. That turned out to be not a concern because obviously he's playing the best basketball of his career right now. But the issues in terms of the fractionalization in the clubhouse and Jimmy kind of setting himself apart from the rest of the team, they just felt like to give him a max contract and say, you're the guy that we're going to build around and trust you to build team chemistry. As Gar Pax at that point, felt like, you know, it was going to be a situation where Jimmy was going to have his own agenda that may not match with the rest of the team. Because you recall, just before he was traded, he was talking about trying to bring in Kyrie Irving. He talked about Kyle Lowry, who he played on an Olympic squad with. And Jimmy has always had strong thoughts on how he wanted to build a roster. It finally took, because remember, he burned his way out of two more teams before he finally got to Miami, where Pat Riley, a very strong presence, and Eric Spoelstra, who's probably the best coach in the league, basically just sat him down and said, this is the way we do things here, and you need to fall in line. I mean, when you see Jimmy talking about the organization, he always talks about Heat culture, and he almost in reverence, he talks about Coach Pat. You know, he hasn't been a coach for a long time, but Jimmy, yeah. Jimmy has a ton of respect for Riley, and I think he also knows that if he doesn't fly right, Riley will not hesitate to get him the hell out of there.
Yeah, you know, I think it's definitely true that it doesn't happen without a true OG in Pat Riley. I mean, Pat's the guy who threw his plastic bag full of championship rings on the table to get to, to get LeBron and Chris Bosh there. He's still that guy. So if anything, it's a reflection on organizational culture that the Bulls did not have then and still do not have.
Well, you remember near the end of the Tibbs era, there was like a friction within the team. Joakim Noah had been sent to the bench when Pau Gasol came in. It was kind of like, you know, Joakim would side with Derek, who was, you know, because of the knee injuries, was not playing at his peak form at that point. And Pau was kind of with Jimmy as a rising star. And it was a mess. I mean, they had a lot of individual talent, and Tibbs did his best to try to rein some of that in. But in the end, they weren't able to get far enough in the playoffs to try to stick with that team. And, you know, they almost traded Jimmy the year before they did. And finally, when they made the move and decided to rebuild, Jimmy went to Minnesota. He got a chance to play with Tibbs again after one season. Amazingly, he wasn't happy there. Didn't like the work ethic of the young players with the Timberwolves, and it demanded a trade. So, you know, Jimmy's history is littered with relationships that were broken, and it took, as you mentioned, the Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra influence to finally get him to buy in. And you know, he's had some flashpoints there. We saw the incident on the sideline where he and Udonis Haslam got in it, and Eric Spoelstra, you know, got into it too with him. So, you know, Jimmy is a guy that always plays with a huge chip on his shoulder that can really serve him well in tight playoff situations. But in terms of a day-to-day six-month existence, you know, it can be grinding at times.
Is he going to be a Hall of Famer before we let you guys go? Before we let you go, Speaks, answer it too.
I think so, yeah. I mean, what he's done in the postseason, you know, all the All-Star teams he's made, I think he has a Hall of Fame resume. Remember, the Basketball Hall of Fame is not as rigorous as baseball. And I think that the basketball, you look at some guys that get in there and you wonder, wow, how did that guy get in? If Ben Wallace is in the Hall of Fame, I think Jimmy Butler's in there.
Oh, my God. Mark, such great stuff. You're the goods. Congrats on the podcast. Killing it like it is. Proud to have you as an Odyssey teammate. And talk to you soon, I hope.
Yeah, encourage everybody to check it out. You can get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcast. It's a long interview with Scotty. He talks about a lot of things. You know, he talks about whether the Bulls are the greatest team of all time, which he says they are. And, you know, there's a lot of fantastic stuff in there. So we hope people will check it out.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
You got it. That's Mark Schanowski.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.